Hey, guys, I've been thinking about our intros, and they just need to be snappier and stuff. So I'm going to leave Dwayne, just kind of take my lead. Hey there, I'm Will.
Hey, Jason Bateman.
Hey, I'm Sean Hayes.
Fucking one at a time. Sorry. This is Smartless.
Smart.
Well, did I just hear you turning the fellas on to a band called The Police? Boy, where would we be without you?
No. Gosh. No, you did not hear that.
Nice find.
No, you did not. Hey, by the way, classic Bateman. Why don't you just take a position before you even know what the shot is? Know the shot, okay? Don't make me quote Glengarry Glenn Ross here. But you know what? A, know the shot.
You just did, didn't you?
I guess I just did. But also, like, always be closing. But also know the shot.
What is the shot?
I was... Jason, Will, and I were chatting yesterday, the day before, about, you know, I went outside to my garage. The garage is separated from my house, and there's a shingle from the roof. I was like, on the ground. I was like, what's
your
that?
Garage has shingles, dude.
I gotta get the vaccine. And so I'm standing there, and here comes another shingle straight from my face. I was like, oh God. I was like, oh crap, I gotta get a new roof. It's been like over 20 plus years, And then, so I call this contractor guy. Like,
For Tracy in Wisconsin, a roof is something that is on the top of a building. Sorry. Well, right. I mean, if we're going to do...
No. Thank you. And so then he comes over and there's like my, you know, whenever it rains, it floods my driveway. And then he's like, we should fix the drainage under the driveway. So I got to tear up the driveway and the roof. And then I was like, and then it turned into that thing where you're like, oh God, now I have to tear up...
Just do everything.
Everything. And then I'm like, is homeownership kind of a scam? Because it was a lot easier to live in an apartment.
Jason, do we have to ask the question? The obvious question is, are you okay?
Dude, maybe you just have a really fat squirrel on the roof. Have you looked?
No.
Yeah, it could be a real pain in the ass chubby squirrel up there.
But it feels like, do you feel like you're unraveling a little bit?
Me?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Why don't you just go back to the trailer? You know, things were so much simpler when you had wheels under your house.
Sean, if you tore down your house and you put a nice big trailer on the property, I would...
Why not?
Love that.
Then they could. Then Scotty could knock on the door and say, we're ready for you in five.
Dax was living in a trailer while he and Kristen were doing the house, right?
Yeah, well, he bought that crazy huge trailer. You saw it. And he's got that awesome trailer. And then he had it parked in front of the house... His nice house, and then like...
Yeah, and it's a real nice house. Mr. Keep It Real Detroit
is living
in a palace now.
Thank you for calling him out on that. Yeah.
Old lifestyles of the rich and nailing it.
Yeah.
So that'd be a great show. It sells itself.
He would be a great new host if they were going to redo that series of Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. What was his name? Robin?
Robin Leach.
Leach, yeah.
This is Robin Leach.
I'd love to see Dax hosting that show. It'd be like a cross between Cribs and
Punk'd.
Lifestyle. Yeah.
Because you know Dax, he'd go through the house with the people and be like, you've got a greenhouse here. How much did you pay for that? That looks really... And the person would be on the spot. They'd be like, I don't know. And goes, there's got to be... I mean, those things go minimum $1 million.
Minimum.
Right?
That's pretty good. Ladies and gentlemen, Dax Shepard just stepped in for a second.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, thanks, Sean.
So I get this wonderful email from this fellow who you're about to say hello to. And in the email...
Wait, are you getting to the guest? Is this you getting to the guest?
Yeah. What else do you want to bring up?
It's pretty smooth.
It was pretty smooth. Okay.
A 4-minute wait for the guest was pretty not bad.
So you're going to say hi to this guy in just a second. And I got
Shall
an email
we make
from
a start?
I love that we keep making references to the dresser.
God,
Stop that train.
Give me one, Will.
Stop.
Shall we make a start?
I've never seen it. I don't know.
You have to. Tom Courtney is
write this down.
Perfection.
That's
in that
Tom
part.
Courtney starting to dress Albert Finney.
What's it called?
The Dresser. It's a classic.
All right. Have you guys seen Whatever Happened to Baby Jane? All right, listen. In the email, this guy...
Oh, and there's a great new band called The Police. Sorry. Go ahead.
And in this email, this guy says to me, and he's so nice, and he says... I know we don't know each other except for some run-in at a doctor's office, which I'll have to ask him about.
Wait, I want to get into that.
But he says he's really good friends with you guys, and he would love to come on and surprise you. So instead of, oh my God, of course, it'll be a great excuse for the guys to say hi to you and for me to get to know you.
Dax Shepard doing a repeat performance.
No.
Are we got Dax to
So like always, as soon as I describe who this person is, you're going to guess who it is because you play golf with him. But now, just humor me and let me get out some of his credits before you start boring me to tears with which iron you
Charlie
choose.
Day.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it Charlie?
So, Rob McElhenney.
This guy played Mac for 14 seasons on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Rob McElhenney.
He's on a new Rob show McElhenney. Called
It's Rob
Quest.
McElhenney. Let's
go. Just take the thing.
Okay. There he is. There he is. No way, Rob McElhenney.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Rob. Hi,
Rob, look at your skin. Hi, Rob.
He has glowing skin all the time, doesn't he?
Yeah. I mean, you're pale as all hell. But
Yeah. I'm exceptionally Irish, and so my skin is always going to be alabaster.
Same.
Yeah,
and this is great.
If I shave, it tends to get a little shiny.
I've got a lot of questions for you. Can we start with the listener? Do you know that Rob is the proud owner of a soccer team? Okay.
I know. Talk to me about that with
I can't
Ryan
believe
Reynolds.
We haven't talked about this, Rob, at all yet. I keep meaning to ask you, and I feel like you know that I'm a big football fan, and then you've avoided talking to me about it. Is that
he's
true?
Playing it cool.
Okay, do you mind if I derail your own podcast for the first 5 to 10 minutes?
Please do.
Okay.
I reached out to Sean because I realized that we play golf together. I don't know Sean very well, but I've played a number of rounds of golf with you gentlemen, and I've met you numbers of times over
He's
the
a
years.
Good player too.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's where you insert. But I'm a fan. But go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know Sean,
super fan. Well, of course. Yeah. Well, we'll get to that later.
Thanks.
But what I realized is over the course of our relationships that. While you're very cordial and sweet men and wonderful friends, I'm fairly convinced, and Charlie and I have discussed this, that you have never seen anything, not one scene, not one frame of anything that I've ever done. And I find that to be quite amusing. Uh-huh. Because I've never pointedly asked
you're speaking you. To Jay, you're speaking to Jason, obviously.
I'm speaking to both of you.
First of all, I have watched Mythic Quest, so F you, bro.
Really?
I know that your character's name is Ian Grimm.
Wow.
Is the name of your character. I'm not even Googling. And I know that you guys run a video game company, and then you're coming out with this new video game. So please.
And it's on Apple Plus.
Oh, yeah, well, that's
I've seen it.
You were impressed by that, Rob, right?
I actually really was. The only thing I can surmise from that is, and still to your credit, I believe that this was all, you've seen this in the last, the show's been out for 2 years, but I think you watched in the last 2 weeks because you realized that we were going to be playing more golf together and you had to make sure that you were at least.
A little homework.
Yeah, little bit of homework, which I appreciate. Bateman didn't even do that.
You know what? It wasn't even that. Like, that sounds like something. That move is called a Bateman in showbiz. But what I did was, because since we've gotten to know each other, and we had a little bit of contact before, Rob wrote a pilot that I thought was hilarious many, many years ago that was kind of came my way. At a certain point, there was a discussion about maybe, and I really wanted to do it, and I forget what happened, and maybe they ultimately didn't want me or something like that. But
you passed. You passed.
Yeah, but it was a soft pass. Yeah. But here's the deal. I always thought it was really funny, and it was all, and I thought it was, when I read that script, that's when I became a fan of yours.
Yeah, I can't wait
and
for the
B,
question.
B, once we started to get to know each other more recently, then I did watch it, not because I wanted to be able to, but I also, I was like, I want to see what your deal is. Mm. How about that?
Well, look, I appreciate it. Jason?
Yeah, sorry, Jason.
But then ultimately you did not stick with the show, clearly. Me, on the other hand, if I were to start, I know I would go down a K-hole of just like,
here goes the Google.
This guy, Rob.
Yeah.
I got to eat up everything he's ever. And then I'd get stuck in the Philly, in the sunny in Philly, and that would take me 15 years, almost literally, to watch all those episodes. I wouldn't be able to stop. Yeah. I know what I'm dealing with you. So what I do is I keep myself in a safe little bubble of Dodgers and MSNBC, and I don't come
out.
Yeah,
I know what you do.
I don't come out for except for golf and to say hello to my lovely wife and children. That's it.
Rob, do you know something? So your show's on Apple, right? Mythic Quest. Is second
yeah, that's
season
correct.
Is just started. Is
just starting. His name's Ian Grimm.
Wrong.
It's
Ian. Wrong.
It's Ian, you dick. And secondly,
which shows that you just Googled it and got it wrong because the pronunciation is Ian, and that's a part of the gag of the show.
Oh,
yeah, that's the whole gag of the show. You know what? Here's the other part. You know what? He makes himself look even worse is that his own wife is a producer on a show that's on Apple, and he hasn't watched that.
I watched the first 5 episodes, and I continue to get a lot of heat for not finishing that up.
There's a lot of content out there.
Another guy that we play golf with is an ex-baseball player named Chase Utley, and I can promise you that when we play, Jason remembers every at-bat that man, over a 20-year period, I think he can point to an at-bat that Chase had in 2009.
He's a memorable fellow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Rob, You mentioned in the email that we ran into each other at a doctor's office once. How long ago was that? And
Yes. The reason I know that it was not memorable for you, because this was very early on in Sonny's run. There was no chance he would have ever known who I was, but I just introduced myself and said I was a big fan of yours.
You knew that he didn't know who you were because he tossed you his keys and said, can you give it a wash before I come back?
No, I recognize, I even said in the waiting room, I said, I recognize that this is wholly inappropriate. We were at, this is full disclosure, I don't think you'll mind having me bring this up, because I know you're very open with your medical history and whatnot, but
I love it. I love talking about medical
stuff. Here we go.
I know you do. I saw you on Jimmy Kimmel. I'm a fan of yours. So, and I know about your other podcast that you're talking about.
Thank you.
Was it a dermatologist?
It was an allergist.
Oh,
yes,
oh,
Dr. Sure. Eichus.
Dr. Eichus.
Yeah,
oddly enough,
great.
His name is Dr. Eichus. He's the best allergist in the city of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And when I first moved to LA, I had terrible allergies. And I am now cured.
What were your symptoms?
Seasonal. So it would be stuffy.
But you're cured.
Are you okay? Are you okay now with the stuffy nose? I'm concerned.
We're not doing hypochondriac right now, okay? All right? Sean?
I'm cured. I have been cured. I don't know if you continue to go to Dr. Eichus, but I do not have to go anymore.
Now, was this the kind of doctor where you lay on your back and he puts like a bottle of some sort of like herb or something on your chest and he says, raise your arm, I'm going to push down your arm. And if your arm gives a lot of resistance, that means you have a bad reaction to this type of herb. Have you guys ever been to one of those?
No, man.
No, nobody has. No, that guy was not a doctor. Was that in a van somewhere in the valley?
That was definitely somewhere in Santa Monica. I can almost promise you that.
Wait, Rob, so you were, I read a little bit about you, having known you were coming on. And so you grew up Catholic. I grew up Catholic, which means one of us has to be gay. That's me. Hmm. And your mom is now gay, lesbian. She's out. I want to talk about that because I think that's fascinating. Being a child growing up, like, how old were you when she came out? Did you suspect when you were younger that, you know, mom could lift heavier things than dad maybe? And now you can both play golf.
Yeah, she does play golf, which is amazing. Both of my mothers. So they've been to, my mother left my father for her current partner, who's been my other mother, for the last 35 years. I think they met.
Wow.
I want to say 37 years ago. Yeah.
Wow.
So they're still wonderfully happy. And in fact, even stranger, my father and his current wife are very great friends with them. And they are on vacation together right now.
I love
that.
Which is its own. Yes. Right now. They are in North Carolina together, runaway.
And see, I'm just writing a pilot episode of a sitcom as I'm listening to that. I'm just thinking, gosh, boy, this is no
My Two Moms. Remember My Two Dads?
Oh, good. Right, exactly. Walk us through the cold open.
Yeah. No, so here we go. So it's just a slow fade in, you know.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
No. I did not know that, Rob.
Yes. Well, you don't ask any questions about me.
No, I don't, except did you hit an 8-iron?
I remember one time he said to you, he said, is this downwind from here? Is this usually, and is there trouble on the left? He once said to you. I remember that.
No, but I really do want to know, like, what age did she come out to you, and what was that like for you? Is it like, and then what was your experience like with your peers at school, or did they know, and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, the interesting thing is that they never actually officially came out to us. It was a much different time. This was the South Philadelphia in the early to mid 1980s, and they had three kids in a very staunch Irish Catholic neighborhood.
Right.
So it was a really difficult time for them. But for us, I mean, look, any divorce is going to be difficult on the kids, but I think it was a testament to both my father, who was in his late 20s at the time, which is incredible, and both of my mothers, who handled it with such dignity and grace. And we never really felt any acrimony or animosity between them. It was all, like, in support of us. However, we did recognize that mom had a roommate, which isn't weird at first because she's in her late 20s, early 30s, which, of course, at the time when you're a kid, they seem like they're 50.
Right.
So I have some family members that still call Scotty my roommate.
Yes.
Is that true?
And so mom, yeah. So mom and Mary, who's my other mother.
My mom's name is Mary.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Anyway, this is going great.
Roommates for years and years and years, and nobody was really sitting us down and having a conversation with us. But as time went on, it was becoming quite evident when we would ask, you know, at 12, 13 years old, we recognize that you're roommates, but why do you sleep in the same bed?
Mm-hmm. Well, for warmth.
Yeah, warmth.
Yeah, for warmth. It's cold.
To save energy.
It's not always sunny.
South Philly is cold, yeah.
Sean, you know, Sean, you said, you brought up the fact that, you know, that you're Catholic and maybe that's why you're gay. And I know you were being glib, but we've never really talked about this before because, you know, Rob, you were just saying it was a tough time. I can't imagine how difficult that would be. And hats off to you and your whole family kind of rallying around and understanding how important that was to kind of how difficult that must be in that time. And so, Sean, we've never really talked about this. How difficult was that growing up in your Irish Catholic existence outside of Chicago in the similar, I imagine, quite similar circumstances as and knowing, probably knew you were gay from...
Oh, yeah, 5 years old.
Yeah, and...
Yeah, no, thanks for asking. It's, it was weird. You know, you go to church, you go to... You're raised Irish Catholic. It's like you just blindly go because that's where your mom and dad and family bring you, and you learn all about... You go to CCD. I don't know if you had to go to CCD classes, Bible classes, and do all of that, and then you get older, and you realize, oh, I can't talk about this because I'm told I'm bad.
You can't talk about it at church, certainly, and Rob, were you guys religious, Rob? Did you have a difficult time with the church or your mom and your dad and all that
stuff? Yes, it was just something that wasn't discussed. But my father, we had a very close relationship with the church because my father was almost a priest. In fact, he was in his last year of seminary school when he met my mother. A whole lot of real interesting stories wrapped up in religion and sexuality and all this stuff.
But there's so much guilt, from what I understand, from all my friends and people, and you know, who are certainly Catholic. They always talk about that Catholic guilt. There must be, for both of you guys, very complicated feelings because you're raised in the church and then you're doing something that they don't approve of.
Right.
For both of you, did you feel that really in a real way, and do you still feel that today?
You know, I have. I don't know about you, Rob, but I have. Anger because of the hypocrisy,
right?
Because you have, by the way, this doesn't have to turn into religion, but I had, you know, growing up, it's all you hear from ads on TV, on billboards, and society, and families, and churches, and everything, that gay is bad, gay is bad. And then you, of course, now we're in a much different place. We still have a long way to go, but that we're just as human as anybody else. But I got angry at the Catholic Church because of the hypocrisy of thousands and thousands of children who were molested by Catholic priests, and we just kind of, well, we're not going to talk about that, or we're going to try to bury that as much as possible. So here's all this evidence of pedophilia running amok in the Catholic Church, and they're passing judgment on me for who I love and telling me, like, how I should live my life? I don't know about that. So, like they say on Shark Tank, for those reasons, I'm out.
Well, let me ask the dumb question, because I am the dumb in many areas, definitely in religion. I know
and
zero.
And full stop. We got the quote.
You got the clip. I know zero about religion, and so on this issue, is there something? And this is probably a very quick and easy answer. I apologize, but is there something in the Bible that specifically says you must not be with somebody of the same sex, or is it sort of like this is sort of an agreed upon interpretation of some of the vagaries, and it pushes it towards heterosexuality?
Yes, and just like anything else in the Bible, it's a buffet where people can choose a la carte which sections they want to believe and which they don't, to further reinforce their own prejudices, right?
Mm-hmm,
and we see that all day long with so many various different things, where people will just...
People are doing that with the Constitution.
Of course, of course.
You just choose to interpret it the way that fits whatever sort of narrative you're looking for, right?
And really quick, I made a glib joke about your mom, and it's just from one gay to another gay joke about playing golf and all that. So hopefully she's okay with it.
My mother could give two flying fucks what anybody says about her. That's for sure. But that's having grown up in South Philly.
Well, I wanted you to apologize to me for making fun of me for playing golf too, just in general.
But no, to show you, to demonstrate how difficult this is for people. And again, that's why I have endless compassion and empathy, certainly for my mother, who was navigating this in the mid 1980s. But we grew up essentially in the gay community. At least 50% of the time, we were in the gay community. And yet I have two gay brothers, one of whom did not come out to me till he was in his 20s.
Wow.
Which is just fascinating because he still felt from a cultural and societal perspective that he would not, he just didn't feel comfortable even telling his own brother.
Right. There's. Mm.
Did he tell your mom earlier?
No.
No.
Wow. Growing up in a culture in the family where it was not only in existence, but it was embraced I don't know if comfortable, but did he explain why he still felt so kind of uncomfortable until 20 something to come out?
He did. And I mean, look, to bring it back full circle and not to, I know that this show is not, it's sort of anathema to be, to be sincere. And yes, to be sincere.
That's Will's fault.
Yeah. You got to be careful about being sincere because you'll get hurt real bad.
Right. Well, I'm going to shine the light in Sean's direction. So what I said to Sean in the doctor's office, at Dr. Aichis was that, I believe that Will and Grace, not single-handedly, but was a massive, massive part of a cultural revolution that obviously started in the 60s and 70s and with Stonewall, which was the beginning of it. But I think, like, really changing hearts and minds, which I know you've discussed ad nauseum, Sean, but I just want to bring it back to that for a second. That
nice
show
Thank
was
you.
Seminal,
that.
Seminal for so many people. And as a straight white dude who spent his entire life around other straight white dudes, to see how impactful that show was, mm-hmm. Really changed people's lives. I mean, it really did. And I think that there's not a, it's not a coincidence that people like my brother and then my second brother, who's significantly younger than me, 14 years younger than me, was never in the closet. So my mm-hmm. youngest brother, who's 4 years younger than me, didn't come out to me till he was in his 20s. And then my youngest brother was just always out. And I think that shows that there was just a dramatic shift in the late 90s, early 2000s, and it continues today, and in how accepted that this is a part of our culture.
Well,
and these
that's
are our fellow
very,
humans. Yeah.
Very, very kind of you to say.
Sean, how good does that fucking feel to hear that from Rob? I mean,
unbelievable. Unbelievable. Right? You know, it's very, very sweet. We always say that's the power of comedy. You can achieve so many things with the power of comedy and educate people without them knowing it, you know, because you bring them along and you bring them in. But, you know, I remember the show Donahue back in the 70s and 80s, right? Where he's like, today we have a congressperson this, and we have a gay person on. And that was that was the subject, that there just was a gay person on the TV. What's it like being? And now
look
it's like,
this guy.
What? Yeah. What a surprise that we're all normal. We're all just like you. It's like newsflash. We're all human, and we're all part of the human race.
No, but it's funny. I was just thinking that, like, yeah, how important, first of all, how amazing that must feel knowing that you've helped in whatever way, you know, and it's never enough, as you know. It'll never be enough. There'll be critics who will always
long
say,
way to go.
Yeah, but you did this or you did that. Like, fuck it. Who, you know, you can't please everybody all the time. But the fact that that Rob's able to say that and really mean that must feel amazing. The fact that I realized when asking you about your upbringing in that way, that you and I have been friends for almost 20 years, and we've never really talked about that
I
aspect
know,
of it.
But isn't that such a win?
I guess so.
That we've never talked about it, that it's normal.
Yeah, I guess, right? And other people would say, well, you're insensitive for not having asked, but I never knew. Do you ever feel that way?
No, never, ever.
I mean,
that's why
we're friends.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But that's because you guys are evolved and educated and normal and all of those things.
And the other thing to bring it back really full circle is Rob, I don't know if Sean told you know why he was at the allergist. He's because he was allergic to laughs.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah. No, just to wrap that up, Rob, thank you for saying that. It's very nice. The show is just bigger than all of us, and I was just happy to get a job, and then it became this byproduct that we did all of this for to educate America without them knowing is what I was saying.
And now
so
you live in a
I'm
mansion,
very grateful.
And you're totally disconnected. No, from the rest of the
I'm
world.
Very grateful for you saying that. It,
we
it
get
really
it.
Does mean a lot, and you saying that actually helps even more people. And we got a long way to go, and I'm so glad you are educated.
I want to say I loved seeing this exchange, just to wrap my own wrap up. I love it so much. I love Sean so much.
I love you guys too.
And it's
very
just,
much.
That was just.
Thank you, Will. Yeah.
This just made my day. Okay.
And I, you know what, for, I would say this to, sorry. I say this to you guys all the time, to be the unknown acceptance of a gay guy by straight men is a big deal because we grew up in our DNA to just believe that, oh, all straight guys have a problem with gay guys, you know? And so, and we're always walking around with the added layer of, will they accept me for who I am instead of, you know, anything else? And of course, we still have to educate people. There's people that don't live in Los Angeles and New York where you can just, you know, it's just, there's lots of cultures happening all around everybody. So it's easier to accept. But we have to do a lot of work still to make sure people know to see us as human.
Rob, what's the shooting schedule like on Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
We get support from Happy Egg. I love starting my morning off with farm fresh eggs full of flavor. At Happy Egg, all of their hens roam on 8 or more acres of land, leaving no mystery to why their eggs are the best. These hens are raised on 8 plus acres. I got to keep it down because if my hens find out, they don't have 8 plus acres. My hens only have like 3/4 of an acre. And they're going to go on strike. Anyway, all of their hens are cared for by small family farmers and live their best hen lives day in and day out. All of this results in eggs with plump orange yolks that are full of flavor. I just, as I mentioned, I like to kick off my morning with farm fresh eggs. The difference is so glaring between an egg from Happy Egg and an egg that just came from clearly some kind of like sad factory. And you just have to taste it for yourself. If you're a fan of eggs, which I am, do yourself this favor and try Happy Egg eggs. You will not be disappointed. You will notice the difference immediately. Get with the Happy Eggs. They're so good. Next time you're at the store, look for the yellow carton. Choose Happy with Happy Egg. Visit happyegg.com/smartless to find a store near you. And if you come by the house, don't mention it to my aunts. We get support from Canva. When your work, presentations, and docs look good, you look good. And you can design stunning work presentations, docs, whiteboards, and videos with Canva. Canva is an easy-to-use online design platform. It helps people design compelling visual content and is great for designing any type of presentation and great for any teammate. So our team at Smartless is using Canva when they're coming up with different design concepts for various things with related to Smartless and Smartless Media because we have a lot of stuff going on. It's a busy crew, okay? And if it wasn't for Canva, they'd all be fired. Supercharge your work with AI-powered Canva presentations, docs, videos, and more. In just a few seconds, you can generate slides and text from a prompt. AI is built into Canva right where you work, so you can stay on task without any app switching. It's AI that's easy to learn and even easier to use. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva is perfect for any work task. Sales decks, hiring docs, marketing brainstorms, employee videos, you name it. Anyone at work can design with Canva. Start designing today at canva.com. Designed for work. Thank you to one of our new sponsors, My Mochi Ice Cream, for supporting the show. I just discovered cookies and cream, My Mochi Ice Cream, and I'm a little obsessed, but I'm a lot obsessed. Do you not know what My Mochi Ice Cream is? Picture this. It's a perfect little scoop of rich, creamy, premium ice cream wrapped in the softest, sweetest dough known to mankind. My Mochi Ice Cream is sweet, it's chewy, it's cool, it's creamy, all at the same time. It comes in tons of fabulous flavors like strawberry, mango, cookies and cream, and double chocolate. That cookies and cream, I've always been a cookies and cream fan, but then when I had the My Mochi, oh my gosh, I mean, I was like, my mouthy loved it, first of all. An absolute knockout. Each box of My Mochi Ice Cream has 6 perfectly portioned mochis that are gluten-free and about 90 calories each. You can find My Mochi at Target or go to MyMochi.com to find your nearest grocery store. Discover the cool, creamy, joyfully chill sensation of My Mochi ice cream today.
Listener, Will has decided to use our time for his lunchtime, and so he keeps moving the mic away so he can get a little
fucking
fatter.
Bateman, he spends most of his time eating, and he'll go like this. He'll ask questions of people, which is mouthful. Do you find it hard? I'm like, what
no,
the
No, I
fuck?
Don't.
Yes, you do
we
all
don't.
The time.
Shut up. What I find so fascinating about Jason is that you never really know whether he's actually getting hot or not. So he's joking and you're laughing and you're laughing and you're laughing. And then you look over and he's looking at you and you realize, oh, there's been a transition. And I didn't notice the transition. Now he's actually angry. And there is no difference between Jason being funny and Jason being angry. And both of them are terrifying because you could be destroyed. You could be eviscerated from the nave to the chops.
Will,
at any
Sean, I don't know if you've ever really seen me angry. Have you? Will, I think you've seen me angry. You can tell if I'm really pissed, can't you?
No, I think Rob's onto something here. I think that's a really good point. I think that Rob first noticed it on the golf course that you had a blow up hole and Jason went kind of crazy for a second.
No. Crazy means quiet, I think. Right?
A little nasty.
Now that I'm getting older and the elasticity's leaving my face. So now my brow's just hanging over my eyeballs a little bit, and I look constantly peeved.
Do you wish you had, because look at Rob. Rob looks so great. We
yeah,
opened with
him.
That.
Jesus.
He was just on the cover of Men's Health magazine, which they must have lost my number, because I did change numbers a while. I don't know what, anyway, the point is, they went with Rob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This month, yeah.
He looks incredible, and I know you get a lot of shit from your friends for it, but...
I heard the story about you yo-yoing, your weight yo-yoing for the shoot or something. Or...
Oh, look, you do a show for 14 years, coming up on 15. You got to try and find new ways to get Jason to watch.
I'm waiting for you guys to get a few episodes so I can really binge it.
I'm going to send you a couple of things.
Don't, because then I'll be nervous around you. I like that we have a comfortable relationship.
Think about how rude it is, because both you and Charlie are on Sunny, and he's friends with Charlie, too, and he's done a couple movies with Charlie.
Yeah. Charlie
and
Day,
and
yeah.
Still hasn't watched.
Listen, the few times I've been given the chance to direct, I've hired people that I've never seen act before, but I just get a sense
That's
that
smart.
They're... Yeah, but it doesn't matter to me. Like, if, you know, you're
right for the part, you're right for the part. Right.
You're a real loose cannon. You know
I can't
that,
understand what you're saying. Put the food down. God.
You always have food in your hands. Okay, so wait, listen.
I almost barfed. You almost made me barf.
I want to get to this Always Sunny in Philadelphia because it's a great story. You shot a pilot with Charlie Day and Glenn Howerton for $200. Is that true? And was it on your iPhone? And the reason I think this is fascinating is because my sister, Tracy, in Wisconsin, she gets approached a lot by some friends who have kids who always kind of want to ask advice about how to break into show business, right? So in turn, I get asked to answer that question on her behalf. And
wait,
I always
wait,
give the same
wait.
Advice as to what you accomplished, which is pick up a camera or your phone and just start fucking making stuff and shooting stuff and make sure it's great.
Well, that's a good question. But hang on. Before Rob answers that, your sister Tracy gets asked by people in the street how to break into showbiz, and yet
no.
We have to stop the show all the time to explain to her showbiz terms? Why the fuck are they asking her?
No. She has friends with kids who are like, hey, can you ask your brother what their advice for them? And you're the perfect example of what that is, Rob, which is like you took $200 and you shot a pilot. Is that true?
It is. But you asked if we shot it on iPhones, and the show is so old that it is well before iPhones.
Okay.
Smartphones didn't even exist. So this would have been 2004. Mm. And I just went to Best Buy, and I was working at a restaurant at the time, and I took out a credit card and I just bought a camera. And then we just learned how to edit on our MacBooks, and thankfully those
that's
did exist.
That's amazing.
But if, listener, don't manage your expectations. You guys are going into your 15th year on something you shot on a slow Wednesday. You went into a Best Buy and said, I'm going to buy a home video camera and take my fucking
Wednesday.
Shot at the business tree. And you guys, I don't even want to start. You just bought a soccer team.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I just, God bless everybody with dreams and please pursue them. But hold on to that restaurant job Rob had when he shot it, because that gives you that, what is it, Will? Sexy indifference?
Because you
got a day job, you know.
I don't like, believe that you. I don't believe that you wish everybody well with their dreams either.
I wish them well, but I am the first one to say, you know, there's something to be said for those that don't need it, and those that don't. You know, people say, well, you know, the people that succeed are the people that can't live without it. The passion is. I disagree. I think you have to have a little bit of indifference there. It's just like, it's like high school, right? You're going after the guy or the girl. If you're kind of, you know, not playing hard to get, like manipulating, but if you kind of take it or leave it, it's very attractive. So make sure there's something in your life that keeps it
okay. Well, I mean, manageable. Sounds like kind of great advice and also kind of terrible advice. Rob, so you make the pilot. You make the pilot for $200 bucks. You go into Best Buy, you buy this thing, and you shoot the pilot. Then what? Like, how millions of people have shot shit.
We realized it wasn't good enough, so we shot it again. Then we realized it wasn't good enough, so we shot it again. And we would just keep shooting it whenever people were available in our various apartments. We had different iterations of, at one point, I had a different person playing the character that I wound up playing, who then moved on to being a different character in the show. And he wasn't able to reshoot it for the third time because his girlfriend was in town. It was like, we were never thinking we were making a TV show. We were just trying to make something fun and something right. good. And we just kept iterating because it wasn't good enough. And then finally we thought it was good enough. And then we thought, well, this could be a TV show. But I thought if we're going to actually try and sell it, we should make a second one. So that we can prove that, you know, a waiter can be a showrunner. I think I was 25 or 26 at the time. And so we wanted to make a second one to basically have this, like, package that we could then take around town. And that's what we did.
And then did you walk it in or did you send it in? Or how did that work?
No, I didn't trust people enough to send it in. I didn't think anybody would go to would actually watch it. So we went in. And I'll tell you, this is how long ago it was. Even though DVDs did exist, of course, at the time, they were when you burned them off of Max, they just, you couldn't count on them; they were unreliable. So we had to transfer it onto a VHS tape. Wow. So I had a VHS tape which we would take around over 2 days. I took it to, I don't know, 7 networks, and then we had offers from all of them except one, Fox.
Right,
Fox. Fox just didn't get it.
Big Fox. Big Fox.
Just Big Fox just didn't get it at all at wow. the time. There, all those people have long gone, but.
Well, you can name them here if you want to shame them.
I definitely remember who they are.
Sure.
And that's just the part of the chip on my shoulder.
Say it was, and we'll cut it, I promise.
No, we promise. No. I bet you still got the tape, right? You must still have
it. Oh,
yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
That's so
I
cool.
still have the tape.
Now, you know, they will degenerate really quickly, those VHS tapes. You have it like in a little
We've already transferred
box?
It. We've yeah. already transferred it digitally, yeah. yes. And now people are approaching us about NFTs, and now I understand what an NFT is. I'm sure people of your generation do not.
Right. Explain it to Will.
Oh, I'm too young. Jason wants you to explain it to me because he doesn't know what it is. Yeah, I know exactly
I'm
going
to be listening, but I want you to address Will.
By the way, NFTs are a carbon disaster. They're completely going to ruin this planet, so I won't buy NFTs.
Well, as I've had it explained to me over the course of the last few weeks, that is well, look, there's always going to be people who claim that they are not destroying the environment for the sake of commerce, then maybe they quite possibly are. However,
Rob, please explain what an NFT is.
Oh, it's going to be so boring and it's going to be impossible to...
Well, make it exciting.
A non-fungible token. Everybody knows what...
Okay, it's called a non-fungible token. And again, I'm going to explain it as best it was explained to me in the uh-huh. simplest terms.
You know what? Explain it like you're explaining it to Bateman. That's what I always do. Just do it like that.
So, listener, what Will just said is explain it like you're explaining it to Bateman. That's right. Okay, so an NFT.
It's like a moving image you can buy.
It's a non-fungible, yes. It's essentially a piece of digital art. We'll call it a piece right. of digital art. And it exists in something called the blockchain. The blockchain, so it's in the ether, right? So the blockchain is what certifies this piece of art as being an original. So, for example, you could literally, Patrick Mahomes did this. He designed a football helmet, a 3D football helmet in a digital space. Yeah. And he is the artist of that digital art. And then he sold that to somebody for a massive amount of money. We could look it up and do a fact check on it, but I think it was a couple million bucks. So then the first question that comes up is, well, why is that worth anything? Because you could just make a digital copy. I'm sending gifts back and forth all day long. it's the same theory that that say a Picasso hanging on your wall is actually not worth technically anything if you break it down to its most basic parts, which is just paint and canvas. It's the value that we put on it.
Right.
And the reason it's valuable is because it's one of a kind. You can make a print of a Picasso, and that can be a poster somewhere, but nobody that costs $4, whereas the Picasso costs $40 million.
Rob, I would love to see you, well, just for their faces, just to see how broken these two faces would be, you explaining blockchain. Just to, because you'd lose them, sentence one.
And then I want to get into Bitcoin and the one, what's Doge, the other one?
Dogecoin.
Just the believe one. Me, I'm definitely not the person that should be explaining this. You should be bringing on somebody way smarter.
Yeah, well, that's all right.
I just like money. I like money, and I like making money. So when people come to me and say, we have a way for you to make money, I say, tell me more. And then they explain it to me in caveman.
That seems like good business acumen. So you bought the football team, because we have brought it up a couple of times. Let's talk about the football team that you bought in Wales.
Yes.
With Ryan Reynolds.
You and Brian Reynolds bought it.
I'm so happy that you called him Brian.
Every chance, I don't know him that well, but every time I see him, I always call him Brian. Oh, there's old Brian Reynolds. I don't think he does love it, or he does.
I doubt he does. No, sorry, take another bite. We'll keep talking. Go ahead. Fuck.
I bought a football team in Wales with Ryan, and so Ryan and I bought a football team in Wales, and we're making a documentary about the process.
Nice.
It's going to be on FX on Hulu, and then I believe internationally it's going to be on Disney Plus. It's going to come out sometime in 2022, and it's going to be on for at least two seasons.
Here we go. Yes, I'll narrate it.
Wow, that's great.
Here we go.
That's really, great. Really cool.
So, but what is the name of the team?
The name of the team is Wrexham Red Dragons. They are in Wrexham, which is in North Wales, but they play in the English football system. And the thing about the English football system, which I don't know if you guys know anything about soccer and or football, I certainly did not.
I know a fair bit. I was watching this morning. Yeah.
Yeah. So at the start of lockdown, I really truly didn't know much about it. But the idea of being relegated and promoted was something that was new to me. So if you play in one of the leagues, everybody's heard of the Premier League. I think that's where. That's where all the Liverpool and Arsenal and Chelsea, all the biggest teams in the world play. And for some understanding of scale for Americans, it's obviously it's the biggest sport in the world. And some of these teams are worth billions and billions and billions of dollars. Some of these players get paid $50, $60 million a year. So they sort of dwarf a lot of American sports. But the idea of being promoted and then relegated is when you start in, say, that you're in the Premier League, which is the top league. If you come in last that season, you get kicked out of the league and you get kicked down.
Bottom three teams get relegated to the yes. level below them.
Now, what that can actually start is a free fall. So you can have a team that's worth a couple of billion dollars that free falls down into the league below them. And then if they lose that, they get kicked out of the league below that.
Sunderland.
And you can find Sunderland. Yes, exactly. Sunderland is a club that is a historic club and used to be in the Premier League. And now they're down into League One and not doing so well, which is three leagues below the Premier League. Anyway, the point is that if you can get relegated, you can also get promoted, meaning you could take a really low level team. So we found a team in the fifth tier and they are not. It's actually the third oldest club in the world, and they play in the oldest international football stadium in the world. But they've fallen on hard times in the last 20 years, and they've been sort of out of the league. But our goal is to get them back up into the league and get them promoted, and you go up a division, hopefully every few years, until you can reach the pinnacle again.
And what is it, obviously, if they're winning tons of games, that happens. But what's the clear thing that you can do to help them win games? Is it as clean as just spending a bunch of money to buy great players?
Yep. Yeah, so that's a huge part of it. Obviously, it's just like infusing it with capital right off the bat. But one of the core principles that we've put out there that's like really important to us is that you notice, just like anything else, that if the community, the fan base, the support is behind the club, it fuels the club in so many different ways.
Right.
So it's not just about us writing a check, but it's also about getting the town, getting the region of North Wales, and then growing the exposure of a global, hopefully a global audience of global supporters, which then can start creating a self-sufficient club. And so we're not just writing checks.
Have you spent time in Wales, Rob, yet?
I've never been there.
Not yet. I have. Listen, I'm beloved in Wales.
He's pitching himself as a mascot. Hold on, guys. Go ahead.
Oh. I'm just saying that for a fee or
small fee,
accept Bitcoin or no?
Food, maybe. You can just pay him in food, I'll bet.
Feed him in salad.
Yeah, careful. You just spit on your mic. Clear your
throat. Salads and burgers.
Fuck. Wales is a tremendous country. And I know that you guys are in the northeast of Wales, right? Like, not too far from Liverpool. Don't you have a writer on your staff? I know a guy I follow, Humphrey, is that his name?
Yes.
And he's a big Liverpool supporter as well, isn't he?
He's not only a Liverpool supporter, he's what got me into football in the first place.
Okay.
And I named him. He's now the director of football operations at Wrexham.
No way.
Yes. The way that I'm going to entice Jason to come to watch a game
listening
in North Wales is to tell him that it is probably a 20-minute helicopter ride / private plane from there to Royal County Down.
Oh, that's a golf course, folks.
That's a golf course for Tracy in Wisconsin.
So, Will, I've got that at a 45-minute salad already, and you're probably not even done.
Still eating.
Going. Go ahead. Try to say something right now. Go ahead. Speak.
Hi.
No. God. Sorry. Go ahead, Rob. Rob, I want to apologize to you.
Yeah. I will say that it was on the schedule.
You know, it wasn't on the schedule.
Yeah, did this,
there was a fuck up in my timing, but you know,
snuck up on you, right?
In fact, we pushed it a little bit because I had some technical difficulties.
You know, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Rob. A lot of people could take that, and I can see that. And first of all, let me apologize. But here's why I don't feel like I should apologize, because I could see some people who don't know me, or if I don't know them, would take that would take umbrage with the fact that I was eating during the interview. However, because I consider you a friend,
he's
figured that you wouldn't mind, and I feel very comfortable because I like you a lot and I think that you like me. And so I figured, like, he'll be okay with it.
That sounds exactly like the excuse that I would give.
I know.
And it's legit. It's legit. It's a declaration of comfort and intimacy to
That's
go
right.
ahead and have a full meal while you're interviewing
That's right.
somebody.
I wish at this point, given our conversation, and I wish, and I just can't, I also wish I could come out.
Because I feel like it would be. Here we go.
But I can. I'm not gay.
That's amusing,
but
Rob.
That's okay.
I fucking wish I could.
We're supportive.
No, I'm serious.
I thought you were going to say, I wish that I had ordered dessert as well.
No, but that's not what I just wish
Rob,
I could
Rob, did you agree with that assessment of Will's, that it's okay to eat in front of friends like that?
I suppose so. I mean, it's the thing where I've laughed the most about over the course of the podcast thus far. So I believe I suppose it's good. It's good for bits.
All right, good.
It's good for bits.
It's
well,
good
Rob,
for bits.
Thank you for being here. This has been just wonderful.
That's it? Well, hang on. No, I don't think we're done yet.
No, we're not quite done yet with Rob.
No. I also do want to know. I do want to know because you with the football, right? We don't say soccer. Mm-hmm.
We have to say football. Yeah.
So the football team, and you seem to just really light up when you're talking about all that business side. Where are you as far as passion with the art of and the craft of acting, or do you see yourself in the future more going that way?
Oh, I thought it was going for the passion of football, which I actually would like to address for a second, because I've heard Mr. Arnett talk about his newfound passion for Formula One racing.
Yeah.
And I'd like to say that, like, when I bring this up to Americans or American audiences, obviously football is the biggest sport in the world, and yet it doesn't still have a passionate American fan base.
Right.
And there's a lot of different reasons as to why I've heard people, which just sound like excuses to me, in the same way that there's not a lot of passion for Formula One racing. Mm-hmm. However, there is passion for NASCAR, just not in our particular Hollywood bubble. Mm. That said, I think that once you are...
I live in Beverly Hills, thanks
yes,
very much.
Yes, so, and I... I think that as we all know, when you're exposed to something new, which, by the way, is a common theme of this, that seems to be the theme of this particular episode.
Yep.
When you're exposed to something new and you're open to it, open to the possibilities, and if the story is told correctly, then you realize that the thing itself, the sport itself, becomes irrelevant in the same way that, like, who gives a shit about who can put a ball in a hoop or who can, you know, the story is what's most important, is
yes.
that you get invested in the club, you get invested in the team, you get invested in the human beings who are behind, who are on the pitch, who are
yes.
on the court, who are in the cars. And then that's what
you're
become.
Right. The same thing with Formula One. Once I watched that series on Netflix and I got hooked into the story of these guys. Yeah.
But Sean, to your other question about, like, am I pushing in that direction to get away from the entertainment business side of it or the acting side of it? No.
Yeah.
Because as everybody on this podcast knows, that the acting is the easiest part and the funnest part.
Yeah.
for mm-hmm. sure.
I think it's just so much
fun. You have an entrepreneurial spirit, though, right?
Yes.
And you're enjoying sort of, I think it's great.
Hey, Smartless listener, we get support from Viator. You know, Scotty and I took a vacation many years ago. We geeked out because we liked the movie Amadeus, and we went to Austria, and it was fantastic. We went to all Mozart's kind of hangout places, and I know, total nerdville, but it was pretty cool, and I absolutely loved it. It will always be one of our favorite memories of vacationing, so maybe one of the most perfect experiences we've ever had traveling. And so next time you're looking to plan the perfect trip like that, an experience, check out Viator. Viator is a tool you can use to plan and book travel experiences around the world. Their app and website make it easy to explore 300,000 plus travel experiences so you can discover what's out there no matter where you are traveling or what you are interested in. Feel better about your travel decisions by checking out real traveler reviews to get the inside scoop from others who have already checked out the experiences. Viator offers 24/7 customer service, so you know you'll get support at any hour if things aren't going as planned. Plus, free cancellation to help you plan for the unexpected. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find the perfect travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challenger, starring Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Feist. Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy turned coach who has taken her husband Art and transformed him into a world-famous Grand Slam champion. To jolt him out of his recent losing streak, she makes him play a challenger event close to the lowest level of the pro tournament. Her strategy takes a turn when he finds himself standing across the net from his former best friend and Tashi's former boyfriend, Patrick. Past and present collide and tensions run high. Tashi must ask herself, what will it cost to win? See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at ChallengersMovie.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure. I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/smartlist to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/smartless. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you. Like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail. Or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen to Wondery, the destination for business podcasts. With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, and many more, Wondery means business.
All right, back to the show.
Rob, you're going to have to get these guys, maybe you can send some DVDs of all your work so we can all celebrate you more, even more and your work.
I'd settle for a t-shirt from the soccer team. I mean,
I'm going to get you a hat you can wear out on the course or out to hide your face.
Yeah.
I'm going to get you guys some links to some stuff Will's already seen.
Well, he doesn't mean sausage links.
Yeah, no, okay. Some links to some episodes of various things.
By the way, how good would that go down right now? After that salad.
Sausage link from Wrexham.
I will say that Jason has seen something that I've done.
Okay.
And that was because we were hanging out one time and I said to him, and this was, again, I don't, maybe I'm starting this by blowing smoke up Jason's ass, but
I'm ready.
At the risk of sounding, yes.
Don't worry, his ass is been on fire charred from the
consider
smoke.
That my rectum is up and ready right now. Go ahead.
Charred.
I will say that there is a generation of comedic actors, or at least a acting style, that is very modeled after a Bateman kind of look on life.
That sounds overstated.
I see.
I would defer and say it's modeled after your co-owner. Ryan Reynolds.
Honestly, he would say the same about you, and he did say the same about you, which is interesting. But I do notice sometimes myself, if I'm watching myself in the editing room, I'm like, oh, I'm trying to do what Jason Bateman does, but I'm not doing it as well. and then so I told Jason about this, and he was like, oh, that sounds good. I'd like to see that. So I clipped out some of it, and I sent it to him, and I said, this is me basically trying to do you, and I only recognize this in retrospect. And he wrote back very complimentary things.
Didn't
now,
he? About your performance, like this, not that unlike his.
Huh. Well, he said this doesn't seem like me because, of course, it wouldn't to him. But he said it is really funny. Now,
But yet still very funny.
And by the way, watch that right away. He watched that one real quick.
Yeah, I pulled the
response
over.
Time. The clip was, I don't know, 35 seconds long, and the response was 38 seconds.
Yeah,
long.
Of course. Yeah, of course. of course it was.
That sounds right. Yes. That sounds right.
Nevertheless, wow. I was legitimately flying again at the risk of ruining your show with sincerity.
You're damn funny. You can tell. Mm-hmm. You can tell just playing golf with the fella.
You guys are all, you know, from an older generation, of course. I grew up watching you yeah. all, and you're all big influences on us.
Now, where are you in your incredibly busy year? You're resting slightly. You're after the
post press.
Eric Bragg is the character you're playing on the Amazon
Mystic
show.
Mystic,
and then you're about to start. Directing Never Cloudy in Jersey. Is it on the...
Yeah, we're getting there.
No. You're resting right now, right?
Well, we start writing Sunny week after next, season 15. But we are in the middle of releasing Mythic Quest season 2 right now, which, you know, you guys aren't going to bring it up, so I will.
100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Thank you, Will.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, I saw that. Certified fresh. Yeah. Incredible.
100%.
Reviews. Yeah.
That's yes. Great. Yes. Which, you know, I, if the reviews awesome. Are bad, of course, we don't
you
speak
don't
of them.
It. No, of course.
No, you don't mention them. But if they're good, then they're, these are the smartest.
And the second season's about to come out.
These are the smartest.
The second season. We are in the middle of releasing the second season.
That's great.
The second season, Jason's not hearing any of it.
Yeah, I love the question. The second season's coming out. Okay, so that there's another one I don't need to.
The fucking
watch.
Confusion. He has resting confusion face. Look at that. It's just so, and it's masked as anger, but it's really underneath. It's just a fucking swirl of confusion.
I told you, I lost control of my brow.
The fifth episode of the season is going to be airing. Well, this week that doesn't make any sense. Yes, we are in the middle of.
You've directed a bunch of those. You did not all of them, but you've like two or three in the first season and a couple this season. Is that right?
That's right. Yes,
you like that? You like that part of it? You like directing more than the acting?
I love the putting the pieces together of something difficult, and it's just a new challenge. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love showing up and saying words while a camera is pointed at me.
Yeah, and then just rapping and going home and taking none of it home with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's fun. That's very fun. But I also just love the whole filmmaking process. I love being asked a million questions a day. I think that's just really.
Are you going to be involved in any of the creative decisions on the doc for the soccer team?
No. So I actively decided against that. I wanted to make sure because I also just felt like it would be unfair to the documentary.
Yeah.
And it would just wind up seeming masturbatory, honestly. Mm-hmm. That I wanted to be somewhat objective. I want the documentary to be objective. So we hired the documentarians that made Chef's Table. Mm-hmm. They made Cheer. They made Last Chance You.
Oh, great. These are all documentary
Greg Whiteley.
Series that I love. Yeah. And basically, I just said, good luck. Show me a cut. If there's something like egregious where I truly look like a douchebag, I will be honest. It'll be hard for me not to at least give them a.
Yeah, but that'll be compelling television.
Yeah.
However, I want to stay objective, so I want the documentary to stay objective, so I'm going to stay out of it as much as I can.
Well, now, what about Ryan? Is he going to get in there?
He's a monster. He's an egomaniac monster. Yeah. So he's going to be in the Avid.
And he's all hopped up on gin, too. Like, you can't stop him. He'll fight you. He gets all on gin.
He's hopped up on gin. He's looking for a reception on his mobile network that he owns. He's got his hands in everything, you know? Yeah. God, he's handsome.
He's aging so gracefully, isn't he?
He's so handsome and funny. Yeah. So fucking nice.
But you got him beat in the skin department.
Fucking sincere.
I do?
I don't know.
Yeah. You look pretty super close. Hydrated today. Look at that skin.
Good skin.
Thanks.
Rob, thank you so much for being here today.
Rob.
We've learned so much about you.
Look at the teeth, too. Look how white those are. Being... God damn it.
I don't drink coffee, Jason. I think that's... you guys have learned so much about me. I have learned nothing about you because I know so much about you all. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You get one question. You know Will likes to eat.
Well, I'll say I am fascinated with Jason. Well, I don't know how personal you want to get, Jason. You seem to hold everybody at arm's length.
Go ahead. No, roll it out.
Well, there's obviously an armor that's been built up, which is the source of his entire persona
and
comedy.
Soft candy show.
Keep going.
But I know everything about his family life just because I ask him questions and I'm interested in it. And I think maybe at some point you guys, maybe not now, that's not appropriate, but you could do a deep dive into Jason's childhood, into his relationship with his various family members, his parents, because it is fascinating.
Yeah. Not a lot of people know I have multiple families.
We don't have enough tissue for that episode, put it this way, okay?
No, Rob, that was fascinating to learn about your mothers. I want to follow up on all of that when we get back out on the course. That is the one good thing, one of the many good things of playing golf. You can have a nice 4-hour conversation with a buddy. Same thing with going to a Dodger game. You know, I like that. It's the only
or
time
doctor's
I get to
appointment.
Bond. Or this. This is the only time I talk with friends. It's on this 1 hour, or at the Dodger game, or on the golf course.
Have you noticed the thing? What Jason likes about all those things, he likes to be able to not have to look at you while he talks, and then that's the only way he can be intimate.
If there's an activity involved,
pop in and pop out.
The only way he can be intimate is if he's not looking at you, which is why he and Amanda. Well, anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay, so let's just say they can both watch the game.
His two girls really are a miracle, and they're gorgeous.
They really are. It really is a miracle. Rob, thank you so much for coming out, man. Fucking the best. You're the best.
Hey, you're the best.
Thank you. I'm a massive fan of all of you guys individually and a massive fan of the podcast, as is apparently most of America. So thank you for having me.
You're a mega talent. You're a mega talent. And we're
honored.
It's
nice of you to do this, truly.
Yeah.
And give your love to your moms for me and your whole family.
Will do. Thank you so much.
You think you meant to say give my love.
You mean give your love, not him.
Sorry, I give my love to them.
He gives his love to them all the time.
And give my love to your moms and your whole family.
With his love?
I will.
Okay.
Rob, I love
Thank
you.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you too, Rob.
I love you guys.
Bye now.
Bye, Rob.
Bye-bye.
Bye. What a great guy.
That great guy.
Jason, you introduced me to him. And
yep.
And when he emailed me, like I said at the beginning, I didn't know him. And now after talking to him, you go, oh, this is one of those guys with those personalities that you go, oh, I could hang out with him all day long.
Yeah, and created two super successful shows. Yeah. Like, doing one is a huge feat. He's done it again, and I'm sure he'll do it again. He's just one of those guys. He's so talented.
And I love that he just picked up Jason said, on an off Wednesday, went to go pick up a camera and just started filming the thing. Like, that's, I love that kind of advice to younger folks who are trying to, like, what do I do? How do I become an actor? How do I get into the business? Just pick up a camera and go and just start shooting stuff. And he did it.
Yeah. I think his kindness is infectious. I do love hanging out with him.
Love him. He's great.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the thing, Rob is one of those guys, I enjoy him more and more. The more time I spend with him, the more I enjoy him and the more I like him.
You're implying you didn't really like him much at the beginning.
No, I'm saying that I didn't really know him, I didn't know him. And then I liked him immediately. And then I like him increasingly. It's just sort of...
Yeah, I don't know him. He's a magnet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I would really enjoy...
Yeah.
It's Always Sunny.
It's Always Sunny.
You know, because I love him and I love Charlie.
The whole cast is great.
You know, so I should just start watch
but
him.
You like to deprive yourself of certain things too, don't you?
I just feel like there's so many things I haven't. Yeah, I don't know where to start. I mean, what we talked about in the episode. I've never seen ER, never seen West Wing, never seen Dallas, or your favorite show, Falcon Crest. Well, I've never seen one single episode of that.
Falcon Crest. That'll suck forever. You right in.
Well, I don't even know what that is.
Or Battlestar Galactica. Like, where do I Gunsmoke I never saw. So where do
Gunsmoke
I start,
Gunsmoke was in the
man?
Fucking 60s.
Well, okay. I know, but come on. I haven't, you know, I've never seen Soap, you know, one of the classic comedies.
That was a very good show.
You know? So
there are a lot of movies.
There's tons of movies I haven't seen, exactly, you know.
Hey, you know what? I've never known that. What is, Jason, you go first. What's your favorite movie of all time, currently?
Just one. 2001.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
It's just dry enough. It's slow and dry enough.
I mean,
Will, what's your favorite?
I'm asking you. I asked you first.
Me? Amadeus.
Yeah. Of course, I forgot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's yours, Will?
I would go there.
Mine is has been for a long time with Nail and I.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Bruce Robinson.
I didn't know Rob until today.
Favorite
obviously.
Band of all time?
Okay.
Led Zeppelin.
Probably because I'm super gay. Erasure.
Hang on a second. Hang on.
Or Depeche Mode.
What about Bronski Beat? You're going to leave Bronski Beat out there?
I love Bronski Beat. And the
run
Smiths.
Run away.
Hang on. Wait a second. Yeah. Erasure. Like that's at the end of a pencil?
Listen.
What
Jason,
are they
you
saying?
You know. I try to discover a little something to make me sweeter.
Never heard of it.
That you gave me no story.
Never heard it before in my life.
Why do you know it?
My favorite maybe of all time might be The Smiths.
Okay.
The Smiths, same. That's my favorite. One of my favorites.
You know, my daughter, my 14-year-old daughter's really into The Smiths, and I made a suggestion of a like sort of sounding band. Tell me if I was wrong here. Belle and Sebastian. You ever heard of them?
No.
Many times.
Yeah. I made a little mixtape of that the other day. Or playlist, I think is what
I don't know them. I got to check them out.
Oh, they're great.
Oh, they're so good.
I'll send you the playlist.
Stuart Murdoch, who's the lead singer of Belle and Sebastian, and I had a great dialogue a few years ago because I got him to give us a song for Flaked. And I got to know a lot of bands through putting the music together for the show.
You know, they say that Flaked, one of the best or probably the best soundtrack in all of television history.
That's according to NME.
Flaked is the show that Will did on Netflix.
That's according to NME magazine. I don't know. That's not, I didn't say it. They did. They said potentially the best soundtrack in TV history. It wasn't written by me. It was written by them. Did that work?
That worked. Do it again.
Kind of. It did sneak up on me.
I know. It was a little sneaky. It was just...
You could have framed it up better. Go ahead. We're still rolling. Try it again.
It wasn't written by me. The worst part is you got to say it first.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't written by me. It was written...
by them. Bye.
Right. So, Sean, you want to try one?
We're really off our game today.
I know.
Well, Rob really knocked us out, you know? I mean, the guy is just, he hit us with the charm and the teeth and the hydrated skin.
Yeah. I think that all his success really comes from, you could almost say it's a byproduct.
Byproduct. Byproduct.
No, I think, here's what I think.
Off. Oh, God, that was so great.
This is the clumsiest landing we've ever had. Yeah, keep going.
I don't have it.
You know what? Can we just get back to... No, you know what I want to do?
Here it comes.
Let's just get back to a real simple old school like we did in the old days, which was just... Bye.
Well, how about to start with, guys, I really enjoyed my time with you today. Yeah. I hope you have a great rest of the Sunday.
Okay.
And listen, just a sincere goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Smart. Smart.
If you like SmartLess, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Back in the 90s, Pepsi and Coca-Cola were in a heated race to try and win loyal customers by any means necessary. But when Pepsi launched an ambitious promotion that encouraged people to buy Pepsi and redeem points for prizes, they overlooked their own fine print in a major way. I'm Misha Brown, and I'm the host of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop. Every week, guests join me to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time. Like, who at Pepsi thought it would be a good idea to advertise that people could earn enough points to redeem a military jet as a prize? They never imagined somebody might actually try to snag it. But a 23-year-old did, and suddenly Pepsi owed him a jet. Follow The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.